Love music. Love Pride Radio. 89.2. Pride Radio.
Pride is here. UK Radio Pride, supported by Audio Content Fund on Pride Radio.
World-to-world drag queens, top comics and brand new musical performances. You're in the Cabaret 10 at UK Radio Pride. Well, we can't be at the real thing this year, so we're giving it to you hourly. That's what it says here anyway. I'm Stephen Bailey and you'll be meeting the amazing Susie Ruffle next. You might have seen her on Mock the Week, but not if Sue Perkins was on. And she might have been on QI, but now Sadie Toxvig's on it each week. Their lesbian quota is full. She is amazing. She's one of the best comedians out there, and she's here next. After we've heard again from our resident band, I mean, they're not actually resident, they're more like our support bubbles. You can check them out on Instagram at We Are The Fellas, because, well, they are the fellas.
Get down on it. What y'all gonna do?
Fellas taking on Kool & the Gang at UK Radio Pride. More music from them later, along with some of our favourite queens too. Davina DeCampo will be doing a lockdown version of their new single Gratify very shortly. And talking of Drag Race, Season 1 UK winner The Vivian will be along soon too. It's all about the queens and comics today. I'm Stephen Bailey and our next guest is comedian Susie Ruffle. So, Susie Ruffle, where to begin? Working class, lesbian?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm still... I find the working class one weird now because I've got to a stage where, like, mum and dad have done... Dad's done all right in the last few years. And now I'm a homeowner. A homeowner.
Yeah, I saw what you did.
Am I working class? Am I still... I think I certainly have sort of working class heritage and working class roots. But I don't know whether I can now say that I'm working class because I don't think I am. But I was, certainly. I'm definitely a lesbian. I can confirm that.
Still a lesbian.
That's ongoing, yeah.
I think you might still be working class because I think about this all the time, about how we're workhorses. I know you have such a strong work ethic. You never stop. And I think that comes from...
No, I am sort of quite addicted to it.
Yeah.
Well, it's from fear, isn't it, of being like... Like when I first started out in stand-up, I was like, well, I got a gig constantly, and like that year where you're, or a couple of years where you're trying to make it a job and you're still working, you're trying to write material in your lunch hour.
Yeah.
And then working all the time. I worked in a PR firm and I was a nanny as well. So I'd have like a kid.
Oh my God.
And be like trying to think about the set that I was doing tonight, pushing them in a park.
I think it's mentally harder now. I wanted to know actually, because I think me and you have similar experiences. I know you have a joke about how you're waiting for Sue Perkins to die.
It's not die, it's retire.
Oh, fine.
Love Sue.
Okay.
I love Sue. I've got to be very careful. I'm a fan. But I've got a gag where I say I'm waiting for her to retire.
I mean, yeah. I feel the same way about Tom Allen now. Like our dear friend. We both love him.
Dear friend, please don't wait for him to retire. The words retire, not die. But yes.
100% yeah. Retire. Just stop. Just stop, Thomas. But do you know what I mean? It's like, this. I think with... Do you find with LGBT comics, there seems to be a one-in, one-out thing?
Do you know what? I think that there sort of has been a bit of the past, but I do hope that's going to start to change. But yeah, I feel like it... People sort of go, I found it more when I've tried to like pitch things writing. They'll be like, oh, we've got a gay sitcom.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, I've also had, we've got a sitcom from a woman. And you sort of go, oh, good, I'm sure that woman is getting... all of the female experience, I'm sure it'd be brilliant, whoever it was, and there's loads of brilliant female writers, but you go, God, is it just down to one woman to get it all in?
Yeah, and I think it's exhausting. I definitely feel more emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
Do you know, like,
yes.
Be like, right, you can't be on this show, babes, because Tom Allen did it 3 series ago and we need to let a few more go by.
I don't think it's like the lived experience. It's about like all diversity on screen.
Yeah.
It's like, God, let's have all kinds of diversity more on screen and then not be this sort of like tokenism.
It's just really bad. Especially when it's like, well, all these straight white boys.
Yeah.
There's like 18 of them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I remember someone saying to me once in like a meeting, they were like, it took Tom Allen years. Well, it shouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean, that's not... he was brilliant for a really long time.
Yeah, that's not the excuse. Were you always out as a comedian, like on stage?
Yes. Well, I kind of didn't do it. I think I had like 1 or 2 gags about being gay, but there'd be some times when I didn't do them. And I was a bit... I would be a bit nervous about how to come out. And so sometimes I did and sometimes I didn't.
When I was 20, I had a boyfriend. He wanted us to get a mortgage. He wanted us to have kids. He wanted us to spend our whole lives together. Whereas I, on the other hand, wanted to shag women. I don't know if you can say that. There's a really subtle difference in the two things. I came out of a long-term relationship with a girl, obviously, a little while ago. Has anyone in this room ever cried so much they're no longer aware what's tears and what's snot? Magical place. I don't know if you know this, you can rank your breakups between 0 and Adele. And
but when I wasn't really talking about myself, I wasn't really having great gigs because, like, you know, you need that sort of openness and for them to be able to get to know you a bit, sort of latch into who you are and to care about what you're talking about. For me, I think there needs to be that bit of honesty or that bit of like you exposing something about yourself.
100%.
And I would say that certainly once I started to talk more about my experience, not just as a gay woman, but also like my family and growing up and different things that were true about me, that was when I turned a bit of a corner.
When something goes wrong, I need my mum. And so I thought I'd get the train home. They live in Portsmouth. And I cried the whole way back. And when I got there, my dad was waiting in his car for me. And I looked at him, and he just sort of stared at me for a moment. And I'm his little girl, I'm the baby of the family. And he said, "Oh." Don't she love you no more? Which I thought was quite harsh. I then went to the kitchen, my mum turned around and went, "Oh, my baby, my girl, my princess, my angel, my darling, my sweetheart. Do you think it's because you're so selfish?"
When I did my 3rd show in Edinburgh and I really was like, I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to talk about what I'm talking about and let's see if this works. That was when I started making vast improvements and all of a sudden I was, you know, the room was full and there were lots of stars on the poster and I hadn't really had that before.
It is interesting, isn't it? Like how, because I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but with me, I find if I don't acknowledge it, the audience, you can see them like combusting.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to let them know that you know that you're gay.
Yes.
In case they're there going, does this fella know he's gay?
100%. Now, I am trying during this not to ask anyone about lockdown because it's so depressing.
It's so depressing. Like,
but what I wanted to know about your lockdown is you were supposed to get married.
I was supposed to get married. So Alice and I, my partner, were supposed to get married in May. So we were just having a party, and then we were going to Hawaii and San Francisco.
Oh,
and so that's
God.
Quite gutting because we saved up for it for a really long time. But that's okay. It's, I mean, lots of people have had lots worse things to deal with because of a global pandemic. And we're very, very lucky, and we have our health and we have each other. But the day itself, I was really worried that it was going to be really sad, and we were going to be like, oh, by now we'd be getting ready. Oh, now I'd be with my friends. Now you'd be with your friends. Oh, now so-and-so would be DJing. But actually, what happened was a lot of our friends were kind enough to send us a few bottles of champagne and some flowers. And so we just really cracked on with the champagne. And we just had a really lovely afternoon on our balcony. And we managed to still make it really nice and be like, look, the important thing is that we still want to marry each other after being locked at home. So it's all right.
I mean, no more Excel, at least.
No more Excel, no.
Right, Susie, don't you go anywhere, because I want to talk to you about, well, I don't know yet, but I just know I'm not done with you. I've been told we need to divert our attention to our virtual stage for a second. You see, we're backstage chatting at the minute, just having a nice gas and a cup of tea. But out there, there's a crowd that needs entertaining. So who better to do that than the only contestant from the very first season of RuPaul's Drag Race UK who didn't have to lip sync. And when you know how well she sings in real life, it's kind of fitting. She's got a 4-octave range, you know. With an exclusive performance of her latest single, Gratify, for UK Radio Pride, it's Davina DeCampo.
You want it, you got it. I won't hold back. Come snatch it, come take it. All yours lie off the rack. No wanting, no waiting. You shake me down. You touch it, you taste it. Come take me here and now. Try it and buy it, the top of the stack. Back into the stack and no need to attack. Instant and present, you go and play back. Right now, right now. Take it and take it, walk me to the door. Have it and hold it, you only want more. Live it and love it, you got it, it's yours. Right now, right now. Sanctify, I want to gratify, satisfy, sanctify, I'm yours. Gratify, I want to gratify, gratify, I'm yours. Surrender, my tender. My heart and soul, no joking, I'm hoping that you will take me whole. I see you, I want you, so open up, I'm willing, I'm able. So fill my cup, try it and buy it, the top of the stack. Back it and stack it, no need to attack. Instant of present, you go and pay back. Right now, right now. Take it and take it, walk me to the door. Have it and hold it, you only want more. Live it and love it, you've got it, it's yours. Right now, right now.
That's Davina DiCampo and her new single Gratify. And of course, that's a special UK Radio Pride lockdown version. You should check out the video for the original on YouTube. And sticking with Drag Race, the Vivian will be joining us shortly. But before then, I'm chatting to Susie Ruffle. Now, Suze, you've got a brand new podcast.
I do.
One series in, out with Susie Ruffle. It's absolutely incredible. And I think the chats are so... Because I mean, call me my like naive or just assuming. But I thought it was going to be like this... Because you're very funny. So I thought, it's going to be hilarious. Like, I was listening to it on my run. And then I really slowed down the run. So thank you for that. Because... I really just got into it and listening to what the people were saying, and I found it quite inspiring. What's it been like doing it?
It's been really lovely. So it's about sort of celebrating the queer experience, and it's about coming out and being out and finding your place in the world. So we've had people like Dustin Lance Black and Baroness Ruth Hun and Tom Allen and Joe Lycett and Sophie Duca. So, okay, see if you agree with me, Stephen. I think... that often when we're watching like queer films or there's a gay character on the television, quite often their stories, especially the ones that are movies, are sort of quite sad. It's either about like living a closeted life, some sort of horrible attack happening, some homophobia, families not wanting them, all that sort of thing. And I just wanted to put something out into the world that was positive. And don't get me wrong, people talk about their ups and downs in it, but I've chosen people and reached out to people who have, you know, overcome adversity and also just become really comfortable in their place in the world. I think that creating a space that was about like real celebration of people and allowing and just giving someone space to tell their story. And the thing that I've really taken from it that I've really loved has been about, you know, I think that you sort of assume that, in order to sort of, for your family to understand who you were, like basically there's been so many different journeys of either sort of acceptance from your community or acceptance from your family or just self-acceptance that hopefully I feel like we've created a show where lots and lots of people can listen and they'll find a connection. And I feel really sort of chuffed to have made it.
Another thing I wanted to ask you was, sometimes I feel like if I talk about my relationship with Rich, or even if I talk about like my coming out story, my relationship with my parents, everyone's like, you're just talking about being gay. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, I think sometimes I think, God, yeah, am I doing like, I'm doing a lot of gay stuff, but then I'm like, oh, do you know what? That's who I am. And I spent a fair few years as a teenager really not wanting to be me. I don't know if you can hear my cat, because now I'm an absolute cliche. You can hear a cat in the background.
I love the cat.
But now I spent a good few years of real self-loathing and really hating my own skin and just wishing I was anybody else. And now I think, do you know what? I owe it to that person that I hated as a teenager to actually now be like, no, do you know what? I'm going to be out and I'm going to be loud about it and I'm going to do a podcast that I wish I could have heard as a teenager, because then I wouldn't have had the late teen years that I had where I was just didn't want to be me. Now I really like that I'm gay, and I think that if I wasn't a lesbian, I probably wouldn't be a comedian. I think working out how to deflect things with humour is part of the reason that I'm funny. I grew up learning to do it because I didn't want people to notice this other thing about me.
That's really interesting.
Because I think it's thanks to my gayness that I'm funny. T's and C's apply. Not everyone thinks I'm funny, but
yeah. Yeah.
I've recently become a parent. Give me a cheer. Any parents in the room? Three of us. My partner and I adopted last year. That's kind of what my show's about a little bit. We've got a little girl, which is amazing. I said the P word, partner, in case anyone's confused. Girly hair, leslie shoes. This shirt's not an accident. You kind of get it. So my partner and I adopted last year. We've got a little girl, which is amazing. She's only very small still. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's everything. If any of you are thinking maybe one day I'll adopt, it is the best thing that I have done with my life. There's good days and bad days, but it is incredible. Although I should let you know, when I say adopted, I do mean bought. And when I say baby, I do mean cat. And it's a very...
very similar thing, isn't it? Very similar. I'll let you into a little secret. I did that joke at a lesbian night, and let me tell you, they are tricky to play, even if you're on team. Okay?
I remember, like, first time properly, like, stepped on a stage going, I'm going to do this because I want to do it. I've wanted to do it for years, but I've always been scared. And I was always scared to put myself in the spotlight to let people laugh at me because they were already laughing when I didn't have a spotlight and a microphone.
Yeah.
So I was like, why am I going to do this? And then I was like, oh, actually, you can pay to laugh now.
Yeah, I take ownership of it.
Yeah. So obviously we're doing this show because Pride can't happen this mm-hmm. year. So I was just wondering, what does Pride mean to you?
I think that Pride means to me, I think it's sort of getting hold of that self-acceptance, like I was talking about before. About, I think for me, it's still important that it's sort of protest. I still very much, I really enjoy marching. I enjoy being part of that sort of community feeling of marching at a Pride event. And I think it, for me, it means that I've been able to accept myself, to learn to like myself, and to like myself enough to fall in love. And I think me as a teenager might not have believed that was going to happen for me. So I think that's what Pride is for me.
That's so nice. And then on top, because now the next question I have to ask after that beautiful sentence
is it like, what's the most drunkest you've been at Pride?
No, but if you want to answer that, feel free, because no. I am willing to know.
Listen, I may have been sick in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York the day after World Pride last year because I poisoned myself with alcohol, woke up, didn't realize I had a hangover, went to a museum, and then whilst looking at some abstract art, had to run to the women's toilets because I was so hungover.
Oh my God.
So it's not all inspiring.
Some would argue that is inspiring.
That is inspiring. Yeah. She got to the toilet, God bless her.
She got to the loo. What is your Pride anthem? What's your song?
Do you know what? Earlier today, I was in the car. I was nipping to the Sainsbury's to do the big shop. And, I mean, it's not a song that I've danced to in a club. I'm absolutely loving the Ariana Grande, Lady Gaga, Rain On Me. I mean, I absolutely love Lady Gaga. Doesn't she know her audience? It's such a gay banger. It's just like, she knows where that song is going on. She knows what clubs that's going to be in.
100%. I wonder if she's like sat in the studio being like, the gays are going to die.
Yeah, yeah. I think she must be. I think she's like, this is for the gays. I love it.
And oh my God, so do we. I mean, I can't believe we've not been able to dance to it in a nightclub with a sticky floor yet. It's just everything Gaga would have wanted. Susie, thank you so much for joining us today.
What an absolute pleasure.
Let's get your Pride anthem on now. Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande, Rain On Me.
I didn't ask for a free ride. I only asked you to show me a real good time. I never asked for the rainfall. At least I showed up, you showed me nothing at all. It's coming down on me.
Right. I'll be your galaxy. I'm about to fly. Rain on me, tsunami. Heads up to the sky. I'll be your galaxy. I'm about to fly.
You're in the Cabaret 10 at UK Radio Pride with me, Stephen Bailey. Oh, you're round the back having a fag. I mean, there's a joke there, but it's too obvious even for me. We've got exclusive performances from some great musicians today. To be clear, that wasn't one of them. Lady Gaga is not having a fag at the back of the virtual Cabaret 10, although we know she absolutely would if she could. We're catching up with Vivian next, and another lockdown performance on the way in just a second from the fabulous Mae Muller with her song, I Don't Want Your Money. Good for her. She must have been furloughed.
UK Radio Pride on Pride Radio.
Love music, love the Lord, it's 89.0 Pride Radio.
UK Radio Pride, supported by Audio Content Fund on Pride Radio.
Hi, I'm Mae Muller and I'm performing for UK Radio Pride.
Ooh, ah, oh, no, 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 oh. I appreciate the effort, but it will take much more than that to get me in your bedroom. Cause I love just how much you adore me, but your ego's so big it gets boring. I see you riding in the rain, showing off to people that don't even know your name. Did that work on the girls just before me? Boy, I know that there's more to your story, but it's getting along, I've had enough. So baby, if I spell it out, would you settle down now? Cause I don't want your money, baby, I just want your love. It must be some other girl that you are thinking of. Cause I don't want a penny, babe, I promise that it's true. Why would I want your money when I've been making so much more than you? Need to take me shopping, buy it on my own. Yeah, if I like it, then I'm coping. And if you find that intimidating, baby boy, it's the wrong girl you're dating. Cause I still like you all the same. I'd be nothing more than just us kissing in the rain. Cause I'm not like the girls from before me. Boy, you know that there's more to my story. But it's getting along, I've had enough. So baby, if I spell it out, would you settle? Some other girl that you are thinking of. Cause I don't want a penny, babe, I promise that it's true. Why would I want your money when I've been making so much more than you? It must be some other girl that you are thinking of. Cause I don't want a penny, babe, I promise that it's true. Why would I want your money when I've been making so much more than you?
That's Mae Muller at UK Radio Pride, and I Don't Want Your Money. Which is fortunate, really. As a comedian, we know venues able to book me, I've got no money to give her. This is the Cabaret 10. We've got a lineup of comedians, queens and musicians today, and maybe a little bit of stand-up from me later. But we are trying to delve a little deeper with our guests today. We don't just want to meet the queens. We want to know what's behind their crown. And in terms of UK drag royalty, it doesn't get much better than the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 1. It's the Vivian. So, Viv, obviously, this is supposed to be Pride time. So I wanted to know what your first memories of Pride were.
I think my first ever Pride was Liverpool Pride. And that was just as Liverpool Pride was kind of getting, you know, getting a bit of wind behind it. I'd always heard about Manchester Pride. I remember, actually, my first ever memory of Pride was when I was probably about 14, 15, just finding out who I was. And I knew that there was a thing in Manchester going on called Pride. And I'd seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
And thought, oh my God, this looks amazing. There's just like loads of people like me and I can go and celebrate. And, you know, it was kind of scary. Did I want to go? Did I not want to go? I didn't know what it was. But the actual first Pride would be Liverpool Pride, yeah.
It's so nice to always do it at home, isn't it? Because my first one was Manchester. And I don't know, it just felt really nice and safe and like that's where you were supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's what Pride's all about, isn't it? Being able to go and mix with the community of people that, you know, who are your family, but you don't know it until you go there and go, oh my God, we are actually a big family, and, you know, celebrate and show people that we're here and just have fun and a dance and a bevy and a good old party. The main message that I get from Pride, you know, as a drag queen working Pride year after year after year, you do, you know, the party element of it can sometimes take away from why the fact that we're actually there doing it. But I think the general consensus of it, it's that it is still about that message. So
yeah, 100%. And also, do you remember when we did Milton Keynes Pride?
Oh my God, in that big tent.
That was the worst death I have had in years.
Yeah, you were hilarious.
It's so bad. And had you done Drag Race as we were on the Milton Keynes stage? Has it just not aired?
I would have, yeah, thinking about it. Yeah, I would have done it. Yeah, because you finish Drag Race and then you've got like 7 months to sit on it and you completely forget that you've done it.
It's insane to think that like you're stood there in Milton Keynes Pride and then to go, just know what's coming.
Yeah, it's that section of filming and then waiting for the kind of eruption of Drag Race is a weird one. The funniest thing was Birmingham Pride as well, because Birmingham Pride, I think I turned up and Bagger had been booked, something had been booked, Davina had been booked, Girls Aloud had been booked, which Cheryl was in.
Yeah.
So we all turned up in the green room and went, oh, hi, Cheryl. Oh, how do I know you? I've never met you before. And it was just all of it.
Oh my.
But I mean, I think at that point, everyone kind of knew anyway. We just had to keep stum. But it was really funny.
So what was it like going from a local on the road queen to now being like a household name? Because you're everywhere.
Yeah, it's strange. I try not to buy into the whole hype. You know, you know, like people believe their own hype kind of thing. I get up in the morning, I have a ciggy, I have my cup of tea, I'll have a piece of toast. And then it'll be like, turn the telly on and you'll go, oh crap, I was just on Celebrity Juice. Or it's just, it's absolutely mind blowing. And, you know, to be able to have that platform and the opportunity is something that I'll never take for granted and always treasure. It's crazy, like you said, going from Milton Keynes Pride in a tent in a field to Wembley that I was supposed to be doing pre-COVID.
Yeah,
it's absolutely mind-blowing.
Hold that thought, Viv, because we want to go back in time a little bit with you and find out how the Vivian came to be. Before that, though, let's go for a musical reminder of your time on Drag Race.
Hey girl, it's Miss Chips, patting those lips, shaking those hips, dancing the night away. Listen to nobody else, non-binary, lesbian, self, hetero, bisexual, trans, or gay. So let yourself free, baby, trust me, and you will see. Guess what, bitches? Bag of chips is top.
We'll be right back.
sit back and strap in. It's your time to fly, so let's all begin. Open your heart, spread your wings and your feet. If you trust and believe, you can set yourself free. Ignore the rest, plot your course and stay true. Turn your keys, start the fire. You can fly, fly, fly to the moon.
Cabaret tent at UK Radio Pride. I'm Stephen Bailey. We're not actually on the stage in the cabaret tent, mainly because it doesn't actually exist, because there's no Pride festivals this year. But that doesn't stop us pretending and bringing a flavour of it all to you. So, imagine we're at a regular Pride festival today, right? I've nipped backstage into the dressing room of the Vivian, who's still here. A deep and meaningful with Piers Morgan probably isn't what you'd usually do before you go on stage, but these aren't normal times, and I'm not Piers Morgan, thankfully. But we are delving into your life story a bit. So Viv, how did the Vivian happen for you? How did drag come about?
Well, I moved to Liverpool when I was 16. I finished school on the Friday, and on the Saturday I was on a train to Liverpool, because I was born in Wales.
Yeah.
For a makeup job in Debenhams, and then obviously found the gay scene, and that was it. I kind of seen these creatures of the night, these drag queens, and was like, I'll have a go at that. I'll have a little stab at that. And then that happened. So then started on like 30 quid a night in a couple of blue wickets, and then moved up from like a door whore to shots, and then, you know, DJing and then performing, and then here we are.
Was it a 7-night-a-week job?
Before Drag Race, I was doing 6 nights a week sometimes, yeah. So all through the week and then the weekend. So, and then I cut down to about 5 nights a week, and then I think I cut down to about 4, because you just have no life. It can take over you so, so quickly. And, you know, drag can be quite a lonely thing as well.
Yeah.
I've got friends who are in the 50s are doing it. Lady Sian of Liverpool, absolute one of my favourite best friends. She's always said to us, you know, it's very lonely. Don't be, you know, and this is kind of pre-Drag Race that I'm talking. Don't be surprised when nobody wants to be your boyfriend or anything because you're a drag queen and stuff like that. But I think that's kind of changed now, because I think drag's cool.
Yeah.
Everyone's a drag queen now. I don't know anyone's Instagram that you can't flick past a picture. Oh, there they are in drag.
And how did you deal with the loneliness? Because I remember when I started in stand-up, Russell Kane told me the exact same thing. He said it's very lonely.
Yeah.
You're always on your own. You're always on the road. Like, how did you deal with it? Because, I mean, the service station became my best friend, which is really depressing.
Well, I mean, Kesherman.
Oh, God.
4 years of my life. Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, that and... nothing else much more, really, which is sad. But I think, you know, it's... as you know, there's a high of being on stage and... everyone wanting to know you as Vivian, and then you can walk into the same club as James and no one will bat an eyelid because they didn't know it was you, maybe, or...
Yeah.
So you're always kind of looking for that extra thing.
And is it all very supportive of each other? Like, because with comedy, you kind of have to learn off other comedians. Is it the same with drag?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone supports each other. Don't get me wrong. There is a few, you know, people do sharpen the nails and stuff like that. And there is the bitchy side of drag. But, you know, for the most part, I'd say I'm always, if someone messages me, you know, where do you get your wig styled? What would you suggest for this? How do you do your pattern? I'm always the one to throw the information out there, because I think if someone asks, if I was that person once, you know, where did you do this? How did you do that? I want to be a drag queen.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing like that. 12 years, that sounds horrible saying it. 12 years ago, I started drag. And there wasn't even a YouTube video on, you know, I think there was one, and she was called Blanche Babcock, and she's disappears off the face of the earth. I don't know where she's gone. She was fabulous. She was from Texas, and I used to watch her. But now you can turn on a laptop and you can be drag queen overnight. Theoretically.
Yeah. As we've seen. Yeah. Now, before we hear some more from the Vivian, winner of RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 1, let's hear from another seasoned UK queen. Or seasoned something anyway. Jo Black describes himself as a cabaret reprobate, musical comedian, aspiring supervillain, and drag something. I'm not one for gossip, but you don't have to do too much Googling to see that they've been heavily rumoured to be appearing in the next season of a certain extremely popular drag-themed reality show. Now please welcome to the stage, with an uber cabaret version of Britney's Hit Me Baby One More Time, it's Jo Black.
Something wasn't right here. Oh, pretty baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight. Yeah, well, show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now. Oh, because my loneliness is killing me. I must confess, I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time. Oh, baby, baby, the reason I breathe is you. Boy, you got me blinded. Oh, pretty baby, there's nothing I would not do except from that. It's not the way I planned it, so show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now. Because my loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Okay, we think you're going to be seeing a lot more of Jo Black soon, but I really can't say any more. I mean, mainly because I don't actually know anything, but why let the truth get in the way of a good story? What we can tell you, though, is that we're still joined by somebody who is currently the reigning champion of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, the Vivian. Viv, how did you make the decision to apply?
Oh my God, it was a no-brainer. It was an absolute no-brainer. I think it's kind of, and you see some queens saying kind of like, oh, it's like the X Factor of drag. You know, I don't need that kind of thing. I've already got a career. So yeah, I also had an amazing career. I was still making brilliant money. I lived very comfortably. But to give yourself an opportunity to put yourself on a bigger platform on national television, it's not for everyone, so that's absolutely fine. Some people, because there is things that come along with it, you know, the social media side of it, the trolls, you know, the constantly having to think about what you're saying and stuff like that. But just to give yourself that bigger stage and platform, you know, it's took me around the world. It's been so good. So it was an absolute no-brainer to do it. I was living in Gran Canaria at the time. The casting went out, so as soon as I seen it, I was like, right, David, pack the suitcases, we're off.
It gives me chills, that bit, because it's just like, you don't know what the outcome's going to be, and your life has 100% changed in the past couple of years. You're also married.
Yes, it was a big year. I actually proposed to him in Vegas in May 19. Yeah, we've been to see Cher and Celine, and then I thought, oh, do you know what? Will you marry me?
I mean, if you don't propose after Cher and Celine, you're never going to do it, are you?
Well, exactly. And we were on it was on the massive wheel, you know, the eye in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like the countdown clock, because you've got to do it at the top. If you're going to do it on the wheel, you've got to do it at the top. So it was like the pressure, just going dun 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 dun. I've got to ask him now. So
get down on those knees. And you got married at GAY?
Yes, we did.
What made that decision?
Jeremy Joseph made that decision. Well, Jeremy put it to me, because I do gigs for Jeremy and he's great. And then it was the 40th anniversary of GAY and he wanted to do something big for it. So he said, well, let's get a marriage license. Would you get married here? And straight away I went, not a chance. No, no, no. We've got this wedding in our heads. We're having it in Liverpool. We're having it in a big glass house. And then the more we thought about it, we thought, do you know what? This could be quite cool. You know, there was a bit of financial help as well. I'm not going to lie, my love.
Yeah.
Yeah. so that twisted our arm. And do you know what? The morning that I walked into GAY and saw what they'd done to the place, I was gobsmacked. Funnily enough, it is a perfect wedding venue. It was stunning in there. It looked like a winter wonderland. It was beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, this has given me tickles. So, you win RuPaul's Drag Race and then you get your own BBC show, The Vivian Takes Hollywood,
yes.
Which was amazing. What was it like taking Viv to Hollywood?
Oh my God, crazy. Again, going back to the whole, you know, being a local queen and then walking down Hollywood Boulevard and seeing a sign saying that the Vivian is filming here today, so if you're in shot, blah, 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 you were like, what is this going on? You know, that show was a lot of fun. It's so stupid. And, you know, some bits I cringe, some bits I laugh. You just got to look at it for what it is. It was a complete mockumentary of somebody going to Hollywood and thinking they're a big star, and they're not.
Can we get talent to set?
Right, is this what I think of it? Please tell me these aren't these American confessional to camera. I hate it. Oh, they always feel so forced. It is what we're doing, isn't it? Are you going to be there the whole time? Oh, it's going to get on my tits.
What goes through your head when that's happening? Because in my head, I think I'd be living like my best, like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fantasy.
Yeah, that. And I have this huge imposter syndrome. And I think a lot of performers have it.
Yeah.
You know, where you just like, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not really, am I that good? Am I good enough to do this? When are people going to find out that I'm not the real deal? Do you know what I mean? But then sometimes you watch it back and you go, oh, you know what? That was really funny. That was really good. I did deserve that and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I think just us entertainers are just messed up, aren't we?
I mean, we're all down on ourselves, but the reason you were there was because you deserved to be there. You won the bloody show.
Oh, thank you.
Right, so we've not got long left because I know you've got to be somewhere, and I wanted to talk to you about your song tonight.
Oh, yes.
What's it like having a single out and one that's doing very well, and is there more to come?
Very strange. Never thought it had happened. It was never kind of my, you know, you kind of go on Drag Race and you've got this plan in the back of your head somewhere of, right, I want a theatre show, I want to do some tours, going to do meet and greets, going to do a drag con. It was never my kind of thing to go, right, I want to be a musician, I want to have a single. But then it came about really organically. My cousin is a producer, Stephen, so he kind of said, let's do a song. So I went down, recorded it, and then it was just, I was like, oh my God, that's actually all right. So yeah, released it, I've got a really good reception. And hopefully we'll be doing more.
Right, we've got to get it on then, haven't we? It's the debut single from the Vivian at UK Radio Pride. It's tonight, next.
UK Radio Pride on Pride Radio.
Love music, love Pride Radio. 89.2 Pride Radio.
UK Radio Pride, supported by Audio Content Fund on Pride Radio.
Got a smile just like the devil, diamond cut rebel. Time to take the medal made of gold tonight. Westwood and tequila, Jaeger even sweeter, silent off the meter.
right. We're going higher than the stars tonight, tonight. Cause there's a party going down tonight, tonight. We got a sparkle like it's dynamite, tonight. Yo, everybody grab along tonight, tonight. We're burning brighter than the sun tonight, tonight. It doesn't matter if it's on tonight, tonight. It's alright. Shake it up and drive.
Right, radio.